Okay, so we're recording now. Right. Thanks for coming along to this special session I have here. Yesterday, I was at the Real Life Witchfest International 2014. It held in not quite, so slightly sunny for briefly yesterday, Croydon. And the topic is cyber paganism and chaos magic. Both things are sort of things I do, and I like to, as most of you probably already know, I do like to light the touch paper and run sometimes. And this was sort of trying for that. I'm not sure how well it succeeded, but I had quite a few good comments afterwards, so I think I hit a few good points. So I will do the intro because even though most of you here know me, those listening may or may not. I'm recording this, as I said earlier. So I'm Kia. Actually, I'm in real life, I'm Kev. But here I'm Kia on Second Life and in a variety of different places. Now, I'm a geek and I'm happy to admit that most of the time. Sometimes it's a bit tricky, and I fight it. And again, you know, I do magic too, which is the whole point. And the geekiness side is evident, especially for, well, those who know me will probably get it. Those who don't, here's a quick snippet. Kia, I use quite often in sometimes. It's sort of attributed roughly with my craft name, but it's not. It goes back to originally a Dungeons and Dragons character I had, and then it went into online gaming. It appeared here in Second Life, and then I used it as my nickname on the Children of Artemis forums. And just to keep everything simple, I then started using it everywhere else. So my Twitter's that, and my Facebook's that, and the website's that, and it's sort of stuck. So I like to keep things simple. But so this talk now, there's been a few things recently and that's cropped up, and this is another side to why I wanted to do this talk. And the first part on cyber paganism. Oh, incidentally, for those of you here and those of you who don't quite remember, or before we get carried away, as you know I tend to do, if you've got a question, type it in local chat or IM me or talk to me afterwards. Those of you listening behind, I will try and paraphrase what somebody may have a question for, just so that you don't get me just saying yes and understand what somebody is saying. So I'm trying to deal with two audiences here, so bear with me. Can be quite a challenge. Where was we? Oh yes, and for those also listening, because I've already said here, I am, as I said, completely knackered and got a bit of a cold coming that I tried to put off for yesterday. So if I suddenly go silent, it's probably because I'm stifling a yawn or muting a cough. So don't worry, the audio shouldn't have collapsed out. So, yes, as I was starting to say, a number of things recently have popped up in various groups that I do and so on about technology. Now, for me, technology is a very important part of my craft. It's not the focus. I'm a practical kind of person, but I'm also inquisitive. So I will, seeing as I have technology around me, all the time, I'm well aware of what it can do, and so for therefore I will look at it, and if I can find it another use for it, I will. So that also covers technology into my craft. So and we'll explore some of those aspects as we go. But in other areas where I've been doing bits of rituals and stuff with people, and like the Samhain one where we were on the beach lighting candles, tea lights, and running around in the wind and chasing after those that are getting blown out I sort of mentioned, oh, well, why don't we get like tea lights with batteries in? And no, it's some may frown on that kind of thing, some may not. And then I sort of considered, and I mentioned this to a few people recently, and asked them, do you take a torch into the ritual circle so that you can light your text that you're reading, or light something that you don't fall over it? And some people have said yes. So then I asked, do you take an iPad or any other tablet or electronic device in? And some people said no. And I've asked, why not? And it's been scrabbling around for answers and so on, and I'm not completely convinced they understand. Yesterday, the real life talk, and this was quite good, was someone said answered that question, and that if they are an oral, they said, she said, if you're an oral tradition, then you shouldn't be needing to read anyway, so you wouldn't need to be reading off a tablet. Fair point, and I got no problem with that. As I said, it's a practical use of technology to solve a problem. It's not the focus. If you happen to be on a windy beach in the middle of the night and you've got to try and hold some item as well as your notes, you can't hold a torch at the same time unless you have a headlamp on. And so why not have so that you can read it and it'll light up and it won't blow away? No problem. Some people say, oh, it's the flow and technology and disrupts the ritual and so on. But again, if it's not the focus, it's just there to help, no problem. So in that way, I have no problem, and I'm not likely to change anybody's particular view. The main objective of this part of the talk is that I'm going to bring some examples of how I've found uses for technology in and out of. The easiest one is that everybody basically here, and probably listening, seeing you've located a podcast on the internet, are a cyber pagan in some form. You are using social media, you're using forums, email, communications to communicate with fellow pagans, or texting or whatever. And that's fine, but that's actually outside a ritual environment where most of the contention appears to come from, which is within. Now, there are other ways, and I have a fair number of useful things. I tend to, and this caused quite a little bit of a giggle at the Witch Fest yesterday. My Wi-Fi signal is the SSID that you use to find your Wi-Fi device locally, is the name of my goddess. So, in effect, her name is being broadcast in a protective form over the area. It's quite nice. She's got a protective ether broadcast of her, broadcasting around the area. And then the extra twist is the password is a slightly cryptic form of a part of my invocation to her, so that when the device connects, it's actually broadcasting a spell in reply to her call. And it's all part of a ritual conversation between the device and the router, and that's I quite like that one. It's it tickles me on a very geeky level. Most people will think, what? Why? Because you can. Because we're geeks. Because we like to do things because we can. Another one that I've tend to use, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, is my mobile phone key unlock. On my Samsung, I can do a little squiggle dot to dot kind of thing to unlock the phone. And for me, and I may have mentioned this on previous sessions, is that I like to make my entire routine part of my craft, mainly because I don't have a structure. I don't have a ritual structure. I don't have a system to work within because I'm slightly chaotic and slightly chaosy and all this other junk I do. So I just do my magic as and when I want to. So in this particular case with the mobile phone, what I do every time I go to and from work or out and about or whatever, whenever I get into the car specifically, I stick the phone in its little dock on the dashboard plug in the headphones and stuff and the stereo music and so on, and then unlock the phone. Now, my unlock is my travel rune, so that I'm essentially, when I'm in the car and I'm about to start the car and drive off, before I begin my journey, I am unlocking my phone and casting my travel rune to aid me in my journey. Most of the time it seems to work. Certainly of late it does. So that's one involvement. Of course, my magical journal, that's with me all the time. Early on, I did actually keep it as an electronic form, part electronic and part paper, but it became difficult keeping both versions. So I tend to prefer to have a paper copy because it's a darn sight easier to be messing with a book. Because I still like, even though I love the ebooks and technology, I still love my paper. And I'm on my 9. If you've seen it, it's an A5 notebook. I was waving it around yesterday, but I didn't open it. It's artist sketchbook of, 300 milligram paper. It's really nice. So I'm on the 9th version of book of that. But what I like to do is, because that's like my entire research for my entire life, 24 years of the craft is in those books. I am, being a geek, I'm very familiar with backups and what happens if you don't do a backup. And I'm possibly a bit OCD with backups because I've been bitten too many times. So what I do is, when I finish one journal and complete it, I will then scan all the pages into a PDF, and then I have an electronic copy on the laptop and download it to my mobile phone. So if I'm out and about and I need to refer to it for whatever reason, comes to mind is my Samhain one that I did privately. I remembered when I was doing my Fire Scry that I needed a particular spell I wanted to do with it, and I couldn't remember which journal it was in, so I was flicking through all the PDFs a bit quicker than I could with a paper copy, especially in the dark. So again, that's technology within a ritual. I don't have a problem. It's assisting me in what I do. And so I tend to, that's invaluable. Another use, and I've mentioned this on previous ones, scrying, especially if you were at the Life Children of Artemis in the summer. You were there because you kept me on track. I mentioned about using, yes, and I mentioned this, and this again, these are two aspects of technology with I use for scrying, and that is TV. Now, in the UK, we have gone digital in the last couple of years. This technique has sort of died off a little bit. I could probably see if I can do it, but I'm not sure. And that's using TV static, which, is a bit like Poltergeist kind of thing, the film Poltergeist. One I discovered about before, well, a few days before actually Artemis gathering, and I mentioned it there, it's not in the notes, was while camping, I decided I'll volunteer and do the laundry because, the wife's on holiday too, and I thought, well, I'll take the aggro and I'll go and sit at the laundry for an hour. And while there, it was those massive, huge washing machines like you do get in these kind of places. And I was watching it spin round, and I think, interesting. Let's see if I can use that for scrying. And I'm not entirely convinced it worked. It may have had some effect. It was the first go. So it's something else that I want to use, maybe another time. And here's another one I mentioned too. Not as far as scrying goes, but as using technology. Because I also use a lot of sigil and symbolic work. Technology is fantastic for doing sigils and recording them quickly. Little paint pro app on your phone or tablet or whatever, and just quickly do a sigil and play with it. Can still do that with paper, but there's only so much paper I can have and not lose. And bits of paper, I've got so much paper, and as I say, backups as well, and other things is quite fun to. So, there's that. Oh, and e-spells. E-spells, that's quite. I would sometimes when sending email or an IM or something, include some slight spelling error. It masks a particular hint. Let's say, and this was one that I'm so lax on my. I just recently found this in the back of a book, which helps to explain it. An X, not a cross, but an X-shaped rune. The begins with G, but it sort of resolves down to something like meaning gift and blessing or so on. So, if you put a few kisses on the bottom of your email, you are giving someone a blessing. Now, that is, for most people, may seem a little bit odd, some circumstances, obviously, but for some, it might just be thought, oh, they're being friendly, but you're in fact blessing them and they're not aware that you're doing it. Same with any other runes that might relate down to spelling errors that you could introduce. And what I tend to do is when I encode, a part of the sigil making process is to take your intent and boil it down, remove duplicate letters, remove vowels, that kind of stuff. And what you're left with is just a few random letters. So I sort of stick those in, and that looks like, oh, I've just mistyped something, fell flat on the keyboard or something. So for most people, they'll just, oh, that's just an error, and just overlook it. But as a part of a intent within that communication, and it's being broadcast. So again, it's another way I tend to use my craft. So it's certainly a means there. And I don't tend to have, if the ancients had, I'm sure they would have gone for it. Creation of, in the early days, of for ritual use, for temple use, water clocks and so on. Of course, should have caused some of those back then, just thinking, well, why can't you just, we've got a clock, we can get it precise now. Can't see the stars and the moon and so on. And everybody has hold of an invention that can make my life better and with the technology. Moving on slightly, and while I gather my thoughts and just take a sip of my drink here to release my throat, is there any questions on that bit? Because we're going to start to go into the mad. Okay, right. So, within activity. Now, chaos magic does tend to, I mentioned this yesterday, upset some people. Confusion was distrust on what it is. Sure, there are some interesting areas that can be a little bit disturbing in some way, but then so many other aspects of the craft does, so there's an issue there. But what I think what gets it for most people is the lack of system, and that's the objective. For me, and chaos magic was something that was evolved 70s, 80s, through the 90s, and it has radically changed and diversified because it's no system. It's just a few concepts, really, of do what you want. In essence, it's a result-driven approach to magic, in that the idea of a system is ultimately it imposes constraints on what you can and cannot do. Whether those constraints are correct or not, who knows, but it does impose limits. And the idea within CM is to follow one of the axioms that sort of gets bandied around, which there is only one truth, and that is there are no truths. Everything is permissible. And the idea being is the systems may tell you to do this, this, and this because you have to. That could be just whoever created the system. It doesn't matter, and everything is possible. So you are only limited by what you want to do. Obviously, could be some issues on ethics, but that's a personal thing, and everyone defines their own boundaries, creating limitations. We all do try to be nice sometimes. Well, most of the time, anyway, if not all the time, whatever. Now, for me, my introduction to CM was back in 1990, 91. I was at the time living in Deal in Kent, A small seaside town is where I grew up, and no pagans around that I could find easily, or even was even aware that there were such things. So my initial forays into the craft were in whatever bookshops I could find, which didn't have a huge amount. The nearest town or city that had decent books was Canterbury, but being a cathedral city, occult kind of topics were tricky to obtain there. There were a number of bookshops I did find that had them sort of stuck right at the back, and they were the classic stuff, you know, all the usual Crowley, Wilson, Spare, all of the big names from long ago. And again, there wasn't the proliferation of authors at the time to sort of give all of this stuff. So I was exposed to a little mostly ceremonial magic, obviously solo, because I didn't know who else was around. And I found that was stifling, you know, you've got all these various things, you know, to do, you know, taking quarters, watchtowers, or whatever you want to do, all these various tools and implements. And I thought, yeah, well, this is telling me I have to do these things. Surely I don't have to do all of them because I keep forgetting and I still have some effect. So that sort of niggled away at my creative, analytical, and sort of engineering-y, science-y, geeky approach to life. And I started to like think about, well, can I tinker with this? I deconstruct it. Now, conveniently at the same time, I was looking at an online forumy stuff. It's called CIX, CIX. It was and still is, after all this time, a online forum, a bit like the old CompuServe, which most people know, or AOL, but this one's actually still going and reasonably okay, not that I've been on it for a long time. And it was full of journalists and other geeks and writers. It was a very nice place, but it also had a superb, although now it's a very quiet, occult and magic forums. And mostly all those guys in there were also geeks, and they were also bandying around this thing called chaos magic and practicing rituals on over the email and so on, and that sort of thing. Oh, can we do that? And again, that appealed to my geeky nature, so I explored this kind of thing. And in short, it sort of developed into further interests. Primarily at the time as well, I was getting closer to my goddess and exploring visualization and lucid dream and projection and so on. And she suggested I go further down astral magic work, and luckily, by sheer chance, if there is such a thing, chaos magic had some rather interesting things to say about astral. And so I sort of latched onto this, and then I cottoned on there was all this other stuff dealing with quantum mechanics and physics and subatomic physics and things that I really loved. I always loved my physics and so on. And in later years, in the mid-90s or so, I actually took on planetary science and cosmology as part of my degree. And so it's always appealed to me, all black hole theory and all these really insane things that physicists are getting on with. And I started to sort of strip away the sides of and whittled it down to what is the bare minimum I need to work my magic. Because what I saw was all these variables will complexity to working out whether the magic works. And this is what it comes down to, is you cast a spell, how do you know it works? They have a time span, and then you think, well, has it manifested? Well, why didn't it? Well, I'm not sure, because I've done all these various rituals and stuff, and I don't know what was wrong. And I thought, well, this is great, this system of no system of bits apart to see how things work is really my thing. Stripped everything away, and now it sort of just tends to be just intent only. Maybe occasionally I might add a little bit of stuff, but I try to keep it as controlled as possible. The whole point being reproducibility. If I can reproduce and document at the same time, I can to work out what bits are going right and wrong. I know, for example, that if I do weather magic, short term, close to me for short duration and short time span ahead, I have a greater effect of that weather changing to effect. And also it then limits the knock-on effect of the weather readjusting to recover from where it was, as opposed to if I do it for a longer trip, say a holiday or a breakaway in some months away, a long distance away for a long period, that has less chance of having an effect and working, and the recovery rate of the weather resolving itself afterwards extends. And absolutely certain that's how it works. For example, the boys near our kids' sports day, a couple of times the rain's going to come, and I've done a little bit of tweaking to affect that and apply nice weather. Seeing that's only around the corner, and I know it's today or tomorrow, and they only need like a 3-hour window, I'll do that. And okay, that's worked. And then once they're done, it just chucks it down with rain for the next few days, hopefully not that long. And that's fine. But for longer periods, further away, it's less of an issue, more of an issue. So that has been through repetition and experimentation of grading a system to work. And this sort of echoes further down. More recently, I've started to consider objective, how spells are created, or, well, when I say spells, how intent is focused. And conversations have sort of led to this, making use of more recent skills I've obtained in my professional life doing business as a business analyst. And that's using project management techniques to plan a particular spell. I'm not sure how this came about. Somebody was saying, well, how do I create a spell to do this? And it just suddenly occurred to me, why are you focusing on that? Because they were saying, oh, well, I keep creating the spell to do this, but it's just not happening. And well, already I tend not to focus on the final objective. I'm well aware of cause and effect. That's the whole point of within my particular methodology, is that all things are cause and effect. All these connect together, collide together, and bring about something to happen. And I'll come back to how CM sees that in a moment. But what I thought here was the why focus on that objective when, if you break it down, you have all of the events that would lead up to it as defined events, as in project management. You have a list of tasks in a particular sequence, ultimately bring about the final objective of delivering what it is the whole task were defined for. If you then look at each potential step along the journey to meet that objective, a target, you could then put your focus of your intent on that individual step. Hopefully it's within a small time span, or within a decent enough time span, depending on how what you want involved. It should be measurable because it's a small finite step, and it's easily defined and measured. Therefore, you do that for each of the steps. Logically, that will then bring about the final objective. And that sort of thought, wow, that. And I sort of do that. I don't obviously get project management software out, although I probably could, but that would be a little bit too geeky, I think. But hey, I do use mind maps a lot for this kind of stuff as well, and that helps with formulating objectives and intent and focusing my thoughts to what do I really need to distill down the actual desire. So yeah, whatever gets the job done. And again, it's documented, it's reproducible. If it isn't, then I tweak it and redefine it and continuously enhance until I have what I need that works. So there are other interesting, oh yes, the CM aspect to this. There's a superb book, Prime Chaos, by it's either Sorry, it's either Phil Hine or Peter Carroll, and I had it in my bag. I thought when I went to Witchfest, and oh, there it is, Prime Chaos. It is Phil Hine. There we go. No, that's not what I want. No, it's probably I'm thinking of the Gnostic Mass. Mass. Oh, see, I'm getting so tired now. I'll stop worrying and actually get back to it. The sort of concept of enchanting long and divination short. And the idea here is far ahead, all of the intervening event probabilities colliding with each other to bring about the objective are enhanced because of the expanse of time and the probabilities getting together and doing this. And whereas divination, those same problems, collisions and so on, will disrupt divination. So the idea being is a fifth of your spells are effective, then you've got good, great power and great skill. But if a fifth of your divinations are successful, then you've got a disability in some way and you need to rectify it. So it all comes down to what's out there and what's between you and your objective. And so this is why I think sort of making use of technology and viewing things through other ways to sort of work out what you need to do are effective. As well as that, there are, and well, being you guys here are also on Second Life, you will have experienced maybe sometimes I've rituals here on Second Life, and they are. And I've also done things through Skype and Instant Messenger and so on, and these kind of things really well. So I'm starting to get a throbbing headache now, so I might actually start to wind up. But in essence, it's chaos magic is useful. It does take a different approach to the craft, and number of people tend to use it in combination with other things. In a way, it's not quite a scientific approach to magic, a systematic approach, an analytical approach, and constant measurement and review. That's at least how I use it. Others will vary. There are other groups, for example, the Discordians. And quite a few tickled yesterday when I mentioned about the chaos mass of calling Marx Brothers and reducing pomposity and so on. That's because so some ceremonial people are so up their own rear ends that, you know, we like to lampoon things and give a little bit of joy and merriment into the craft. Because it shouldn't all be serious, even though some of it. So it's a good thing to experience, and I do recommend trying to explore this area, even if it's just cursory, because it's something else to read. So I think I will stop me talking for the moment. Head is now really throbbing. Any questions? Oh, Kim, what are you gonna say? What are you gonna say? Come on. Is there a link for chaos magic? Yes, I would suggest the Wikipedia page for chaos magic. If you look for, and I will type it, Peter J. Carroll. Peter J. Carroll and Phil Hine are the two that I refer to. Now, chaos magic has elements of. It wasn't sort of created off the spur of the moment. There's a lot of things that go back that it makes uses of. There's Austin Spare has a lot of on the theory, and sigil work in particular is the thing. There's Burroughs, I think, Anton Wilson. And well, I think a lot of those names are mentioned on the Wikipedia page, so and they'll obviously have links off to all sorts of other locations, so they are good points to go for. And as far as books go, the defining one is Peter J. Carroll's Liber Chaos, AOS, I have a particular fondness for Prime Chaos by Phil Hine. There's a couple of others, and I can't get to them because I'm covered in wires at the moment with the recording. Let's think, what was it? Cyber Chaos Advanced Journeys into Chaos Magic was another one. I think that may have, I'm not sure if that was Phil or Peter, but a bit of Google will probably locate that one. I think, actually, hang on, I have my book list here on Second Life. Let me just pull it up. It will be in there. Let me get it loading up. Come on, where are you? It's a long list. Okay. Still looking through. Cyber Magic, that was it. Cyber Magic, Advanced Ideas in Chaos Magic by Peter J. Carroll. Libra Chaos, I've already mentioned. Prime Chaos by Phil Hine. Are there any others? Well, those are the only three I actually really have, but there's shitloads on the net. And there's a really entertaining and enjoyable Facebook on Chaos Magic, where just before I went to Witchfest, I stuck a load of photos of John Dee's Magic Mirror from the British Museum, which is really quite funky. You liked that, Jen, didn't you? Because it's really nice. Yes, it's well impressive to see. I so much want to have to hold that thing. It's lovely. There's a lot out there. There's a lot of mad stuff. And, of course, there's all the other groups that sort of splinter off. Iliamantis of Thantaros, quite a core part. There's the Discordians. There's so many different sort of fractured groups that just go off and do their own thing. Thing is that because it's not an organized path, because sometimes people include it as part of their main, and just use it as and do their own, you just don't know who does it. Now, when I did the talk yesterday, I asked fairly early on, because I like to, when I do a talk, sort of gauge for those present, I sort of asked how many were there for the cyber paganism and how many were there for the chaos magic and anyone who really didn't give a damn what was being said. But the shift was towards chaos magic. Now, there were quite a few vocal ones on the chaos magic, and quite a few afterwards come up and asked me and caught up with me through the evening and said that was some good insights there. So there's a lot of interest in chaos magic, whether because people are practicing it or people think there are some aspects that are useful to them but don't know where to go. Just explore. If you've got an interest in the sciences and tech and physics and the beauty that is the whole universe, really, it is. I may not sort of think trees are fantastic. Well, I do like trees, obviously, but really connect too well with plants and so on. But I find complete beauty in physics and the sort of atomic structure and molecules and all of that. And then the large scale galaxies and so on. I find an absolute beauty in those kind of things. And so sort of helps with what I do and how I like to view a place in the universe. It's great fun. Now, that's quite a long answer to you. Where's the link for Chaos Magic? Yes, shed loads of stuff. Go and have a nose. And of course, as usual, always ask questions. You know where I am. I think we've encountered each other a few times before, Kim. So you know where I am if you have questions. So, yay. Excellent. And for Ash as well. Cool. Thank you. Yay. Have we got any other stuff? Or just so that, I can relate this back to those that are listening. It's still recording. Oh, yeah, of course, I'll be a friend. That's no problem. Yay. Cool. Oh, by the way, the notes for this talk, normally I'll give out a note card at the end. Now, the notes I have for the talk I did yesterday, I printed off about 2 weeks ago and have been constantly editing them. And the meaning of life. Oh, myth. Yeah. I think the meaning of life enjoy yourself. Live for the moment. I am on a constant, surfing a constant wave. One day it's going to crash into that shore. Don't care. I embrace chaos. I embrace change. And this is the other thing, I think. And this is quite a serious point as well, really. I think one of the other aspects of, and I think generally the psyche for most people is that change is scary. Surrendering to unpredictability is a hard thing to do. People like security, and I understand that. I like security. I do like, I don't, but I take calculated risks because I like to be certain that I'm not completely walking off the edge of a cliff, but I will take an educated guess that I may survive. For example, I find public speaking, this isn't too bad, but what I did at Witchfest and at Artemis Gathering, for me, that is scary. Absolutely terrifying to be in front of people who can throw things at me. You guys can probably poke me and whatever from there, but it's not really going to help, or type something nasty or whatever. But when I have a bunch of people in front of me who have things in their hands, that's a different matter. And so, oh, yeah, I'm sure you will save it up, Jen. And that's a whole year's worth of stuff you could save up. So for me, it's a scary thing, and it's taken a long time for me to sort of get over of scared of change. And well, yes, you can. Yeah, so you are all witches. You can do things remotely. Yes, I know. That's obvious, really, isn't it? But hey, you've got to get past my Wi-Fi signal first. Yeah. My Wi-Fi signal is good as long as that's always on. Then the shields go down if the power goes. Geeky stuff. So change is hard, and so over the years I've come to understand that is good. And because I've possibly been a business analyst and systems analyst and so on, I've been affecting change. There have been times where the systems I have designed have put friends out of work. And that's a hard thing for sort of work out that I have to do my job, but it's going to hurt someone else. And that's a scary thing. And they may not even know it's coming. And until the last minute when we go live and think it dawns on them that, oh, they may actually be out of work because of this, what I've done. So, and change is difficult and it's scary. But without change, you don't improve, you don't evolve, and you don't learn. So is good, it's scary, but you need ways to deal with it. Don't either don't want to deal with it or don't know how to deal with it. Therefore, they don't want change. So I think the meaning of life, as you, I know you were joking, is brace change, because ultimately, even if it's bad, it's gonna ultimately be good for you, because you're gonna learn a lot about yourself and those around you. That is what life is all about, to be enjoyed, to be experienced. Yay. Embrace change. Embrace the chaos. Therefore, I ride it. I have no idea what I'm doing most of the time. It's great. I plan. Most of the time, it plans right, and I'm getting used to the planning. Doing project management, I can probably, well, I can completely mess it up. But hey, we like to enjoy. We enjoy these things. So, yay. Before I wind up, especially for those that are listening, have we got any other interesting comments, questions? Who can top what is the meaning of life? Go on, have a go. Existential existence. Come on, go on. Can you do? Oh, Kim, go on. Brain freeze. Fair enough. My brain's not quite freezing yet. It's breaking. It's rubbing. It's trying to leak out my ear at the moment. Okay, so what I think we'll do is we will wind up because the hour is coming to an end already. Take my head out of the freezer. Yes, that would. Oh, guys, you are hysterically funny. Yeah. Were you trying to do some scrying with ice? That could take quite a long time. Scrying with ice, yeah. Could try that. Melting ice? Yeah, that could be. Frozen peas. Yeah. Ah, yes. That actually could be pretty funky. You know, you throw the runes, you just throw a bag of peas on the floor and see what happens, and hopefully not go sliding on them, casting peas. Yeah, I'm going to cast the peas today. What shall I use? Beans. Oh, baked beans. Excellent. Have you? Well, I've mentioned on a previous one of, and it's I'm not sure what it came up. I think it was in one of the Phil Hine books about using ice cream for scrying, and if it's Neapolitan, you get all the swirl of different colours and so on, and that's really quite funky. So, using beans, baked beans for scrying, anything goes. Yeah. Marbles in a public place. You're gonna be. Probably the only thing you will foresee on that is being sued because someone has stepped on them and broken their neck, or broken a limb of some kind, or being a complete loony. But hey, that's fun. So, okay, I think we will wind up there. Thanks, guys, for coming. Thanks for you at home that are not at home even. You could be on a bus somewhere listening. I could be doing extreme ironing somewhere. It's, yay, too much chaos influence. Yay. So thanks for coming and listening. And again, we've got session Healing Circle Monday next week. Not tomorrow. It's not there. Extreme ironing. You've got to see extreme ironing. We're also at work talking about extreme programming, whatever that is. Extreme ironing is so awesome, you know, ironing up a mountainside and so on. So cool. Yeah, I have seen videos of this. Have a go on YouTube. So yes, I have. We're back to the usual visualization and astral projection classes in 2 weeks. Incidentally, and I may take this opportunity to do so because it means I will have to do it because I've told everybody. This series of visualization sessions may be the last because I may be replacing it with a chaos magic course. Yay! I may be elucidating on my techniques a bit more detail. So once this series ends, and I think we will be on session 3 or 4 in 2 weeks' time, and then we've got another 2 or 3. So that sort of gives me 6 to 9 weeks to actually try and work out what it is I'm going to do. Then I will be running that probably for 4 sessions. And then I'll probably alternate that between that and the visualization one back on some of the classes. So it's time for a little bit of a shake-up. I've been doing the visualization one for 3 or 4 years now. So it's evolved, but I think we could do with a bit of a change. So, and of course, and here we go, plug time. My first book, A Parfait Beer by Wolf and Howl Press, available from Wolf and Howl Press website. I'm currently working on the second one, and that's more of my magical practice. So I'm sort of going to be, in a way, it's not quite promotion of the book, but yeah, it could well be. I'll be pulling bits out of that, or the bits that fall on the cutting room floor will make some of that text, because over the next few weeks I need to really get cracking with this next book. So that's a long exit I've done. Oh, I losing it. I'm burning up now. Okay, right. I will definitely try and end this now. Thank you for coming. Great to see you guys. And I'm sure I'm going to see all of you probably Tuesday. Are you doing a session, Jen, on Tuesday? Well, thank you. I'm probably going to really sleep. I've had so little sleep the last few days. Yay! Witchfest is awesome. All you guys that aren't in the UK, you got to come along. I don't care, you know, save up, even if it takes you all year to save, because it's going to be a year before the next one. You got to come along. It is really awesome. Thousands of witches in one place. Yeah, just come. Thank you, everyone. I will sleep extremely well, I hope. Okay, right. That's cool. Well, you know, if you need a hand with the Witch's Brew, I'm always there to bounce ideas off, Jen. So, thank you. And now I shall end the recording. Thank you. Night night.